The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio is here. It is Friday. It is a lovely October afternoon in the capital city. Gang's all here. Rick, Dan, Tyler, Liam. Time to talk a little Oilers. We've got an actual regular season game to talk about. Took place on Wednesday. First, we got to shout out our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash, as we do to start off every single podcast. Mr. Yaremchuk, what do you got for us for an Oodle Noodle delicious debate?
Oh, I got a spicy one for you.
Hit me.
I like it.
It's actually not that spicy. What's your biggest takeaway from opening night?
Oh.
Not spicy enough?
No.
Well, too bad.
Okay.
Biggest takeaway from opening night.
Who wants to start?
I'll start.
Go ahead, Dan.
I wasn't there. I think one of the people on this podcast wasn't there.
I'm hypnotized by your water bottle, by the way.
Yes, the lights.
Anyway, go ahead.
Does it keep it warm or cold?
Cold. For me, the thing that I've noticed is that the pregame ceremonies still affect this team. And that continues to be an issue, and starts of games is an issue. Go ahead, Tyler. What were you going to?
No, I was just going to say, like, this isn't a season opener.
Though. Yes.
This is every big game last year. They started like shit.
Yeah. So I was going to just say, like, it's obviously a trend that continues now with Woodcroft. I hope he has time to address the situation. But the nice thing is this team is never out of a game because of the offense.
Game one against the LA Kings last year came out of the gates like shit. Game one against the Calgary Flames last year. Came out of the gates.
Lulled them into a false sense of security, though.
Well, that game was just a fuck.
There's a little rope-a-dope sometimes, you know?
They always start games bad.
It's not great.
They've been doing it my entire life. Okay? Like,
it's amazing.
Like, it's weird. Like, you have to realize this. We've been watching. They were the oldest ones here.
Yep.
We've been watching forever. This always fucking happens.
It is weird. It's just like there's very few times where the Oilers puck drops opening period and they're just off like a laser. Very, very rare, and it's weird.
It's like they just sit there and they allow the other team to come out and throw some punches right away. They just throw up your defense and wait for a chance to counterpunch. But like I said, it's the fact that's been happening for decades that there's not a single person you can put it on. And I don't think it has anything to do with ceremonies or anything like that, because I don't think Wednesday was all that long. They just brought them all out and kind of did their thing.
But it's a standing around during said ceremony.
No, they're professional athletes. That's not going to change anything.
Wow. Like,
they could play like three overtimes in the playoffs and still be fine. It's just, I think they try to play their game and don't try and change it too much because they know how good they are. And this, at least this version of the organization, years previous, maybe not the exact same reasons, but yeah, they just want to come out and play their game, and they don't feel like they have to change anything all that much.
I'm going back to suggesting that I need to know what they're playing in the dressing room before the game. I need to know. We need to upgrade whatever is going on in there. I don't care if it's Drake or some kind of hip hop playlist. We need to replace it with Norwegian death metal. So that when the Oilers hit the ice, they are ready for war. That's what I need.
Like that, the building is loud. The building's shaking, right? The building's ready to roll. Those guys are, so I don't know, maybe there's the crowd puts too much pressure on them. And I don't mean that seriously because I'd be a ridiculous excuse, but I don't have a reason. I just know I've seen it for decades
now. After the game, Connor talked about, you know, they were doing a little bit of nerves. They were excited to go and they just, you know, it took them a minute. I don't know how much you put in.
Holloway might be able to claim that, but the rest of the team can't.
But that's my question is, you know, it would be a follow-up question is, do you think that the Canucks also felt that?
No, I think the Canucks, I mean, when you're not on the road, or sorry, when you're on the road, it's a little...
See, I would say that
easier the Canucks... just because you don't have to worry about your fans and put on a show and blah, blah, blah. That's at least the cliche behind it.
Well, I would say for the Canucks, just to back up that cliche, that they went into that game, nobody expected them to do anything. And you kind of go into it with a fuck you attitude in the sense you're like, we're not going to lose to the Oilers just because everybody thinks we are.
There's one thing they have to learn is that they are now going to be targeted by all other teams in the league instead of the ones being the ones targeting the other teams, the good teams, that we are now the ones that teams are bringing themselves up to play to try and beat now. And they're going to have to realize that these teams are going to come out and do that.
Tyler, you're
80 more and more times this year.
You were at Rogers Place. What was your biggest takeaway?
Connor McDavid, really good.
Yeah, still very good.
Yeah,
he didn't lose it.
Yeah, summer for Connor must have been excellent. Yeah.
Regardless of what people said of his photos.
Best shape of his life?
Yeah, Connor McDavid, best shape of his life. Just the third player in NHL history, I believe, to have multiple season opening hat tricks.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Wild.
He is so good. He's always stepping up in the big moments.
And he's not at his potential yet.
And he carried them to victory. Like, there's nothing else you can say. Carried them to victory. 4 points. Wow.
Why wasn't there a special article written about that hat trick the next day like there was when Auston Matthews did it?
There is a special article wrote about Evander Kane.
Because we're in Alberta, not Toronto.
We talked about this on Oilers Nation every day. Everyone made a real big deal about Evander Kane passing that puck to Connor McDavid. But, like, we've all played hockey at some level. Oh, actually, I don't know. Dana, sorry.
But we just learned to skate last year.
We've either all played hockey at some level or all been following the sport for a very long time.
Sports, yes.
Passing the puck to a teammate when they're a goalie's pulled, when that teammate's about to get a hat trick, is the bare minimum.
It is.
That is
it
like
everyone Tyler does not want to give Evander Kane any credit for a selfless play. No. I tried to turn the tides on Oilers Nation every day. I said that we need to build a statue, put it right beside Gretz with that backhand pass pose. I don't think it's too much. Tyler is just anti-fun.
It's like if I'm driving and there's a red light and I stop at the intersection and wait for it to turn green and go, ha, God damn it, I'm great. Look at me stopping. That's literally the bare minimum thing to do.
If you're a person that has a preconceived notion about who they are and red flags around them, and we see you stop at that red light, we might give you some props for that.
I just think the
reality is that Evander Kane is not well liked in this city off the ice, and so when we see positive things on the ice, give him that credit. I don't even think
it's like a positive thing. It was like, all right, sweet man, you did the bare minimum.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah. It's dude, that's hockey.
I really tried. But everyone just made such a big deal it's ridiculous. About it. And I thought it was funny.
I don't think he's that bad of a person.
No. I think we should build a statue.
I don't necessarily believe that. I hope. I was just trying to cut.
I understand. But you're not wrong. There's a lot of people. Go on Twitter. You'll see it. There's a lot of people just don't like him for whatever reason.
So when they see something positive, it's like, it's the same kind of analogy I used when a guy takes a knee on the 1 yard line in a football game where he's running back a play, but they're trying to kill the clock instead. Yeah. Right. Same kind of idea where it's like, yeah, that's the smart play, but it's not that necessary to give them an award for.
Just to be fair though, like if people were going to take a dump on him for doing like rough and housing with Holloway and Puljujärvi saying it's bullying, he's a bully and it's a bad teammate. And, oh my
God. People did that?
It's a different, yeah, it's
dude, that's ridiculous.
It's so crazy.
That's a different perspective. And it's
the wrong perspective.
It's so dumb.
I looked at that situation and I know the person that we're talking about and it was out there multiple
times. Oh
yeah, for sure. It definitely permeated after that. But I just think that it's just different perspectives and you don't like, you know, if you haven't had an older brother, if you haven't played hockey, you haven't played.
You've had no friends ever in your life.
It's just, I don't know. Like there is other perspectives.
People just assume the worst.
Yeah, of course. And especially with stories
they've heard,
everything to do with him. Yep.
Sometimes it's like a fresh pair of gray shorts. You wear them to the mall and you impress everybody that sees you in the fit. And that's what Kane did with that back pass to McDavid. Impressed everybody. No. Tyler, thoughts?
He's impressed. I feel like I'm making too big of a deal out of it. So we're just talking about it.
Against it or for it. It's really a non topic.
At the end of the day, who cares?
Yeah. Great Liam, point. Fire the extra. Fought over.
What was your biggest takeaway, Liam?
that the power play is still going to be very, very
Is your mic on?
Good. I was just wondering that. I think, no, yeah, it is
there
on.
There we go.
The trouble is Rick and I are on the same mic.
We are?
Mike Lyon.
Oh, I'm like,
but Rick Mike's is a little better than mine, so I have to turn mine up, but Rick talks too loudly.
I'm pretty loud.
So it goes louder.
You can just ease off the mic a little.
A lot of
just
in yell
from back here like normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, my favorite one, takeaway ever was that the penalty kill is power play and the penalty kill are both still very good this season.
Yes. Though, like, biggest takeaway for me, stay out of the fucking penalty box.
Yeah, that was a big one too. Also, did anyone see the play Draisaitl subtly made, like dragging the stick out of the way? I think it was like Hughes or whatever. It was on the one power play goal. Who one-timed it? Was it McDavid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was him. So if you're lucky, like, just as someone's about to pass it to Hyman, he like drags the guy's stick who's waving it in front of him, like drags it a little bit, good, and moves it out of the way. And then
interference should have been
a nice pickup, Liam.
Should have been an interference.
How pretty was that? Wait,
like, did he go downwards? Like, he's kind of hooking him and just kind of moved his stick?
Yep. Like, right over the top and just kind of subtly pulled it a little bit.
How pretty was that set play, though?
Yeah,
that set play was.
It wasn't. Gorgeous. It wasn't that goal. It was a different goal.
Okay, but you're joking when you said it should be a penalty, right?
Well, wouldn't that be like a hook?
Why isn't it like a stick? Lift of the stick.
Yeah, is he touching the stick or the hands?
No, he's going like over it and pulling it.
But is he hitting? Is the stick hitting hands or is it hitting stick?
Is it close?
Well, that's where holding
interference.
It might be closer. Yeah. Depends on the closer the hands.
Yeah, you're right, Liam.
Right.
Oh yeah, Draisaitl should have been called on that.
Yeah.
But
let's see it again.
I need to see this.
But we.
Watch him.
This is good.
Watch him. Yep. Ready? Like,
We're watching him.
Bang right there. Interference.
That's not it.
Hold on. One more time.
Okay. That's a stick lift. Right? That's a bumper? Stick lift, but it's the
he
other way.
He didn't lift anything. He pulled
it. He's taking the draw, right?
You're allowed to fight sticks.
Him. Yeah.
So we're watching the video. Leon's in the middle of the ice.
I will try and create a zoom in of it for us so you don't miss it. But
yeah. No, that's just a good play by Draisaitl. That's
it
what I see.
It is a good play.
It smart. Is by the book interference.
Tyler hates the Oilers today.
I want to see the book.
Take away from
I'm just in a spicy mood today.
Yeah.
To Bag Milk's point of taking too many penalties during the game, though, like, did it feel like that was a refereeing clinic as well?
I don't know. It's weird, though, because, like, some of them were just not disciplined penalties. Yeah. And then there was other ones, like, I thought the Evander Kane call was really cheap.
Yeah.
But still, at the end of the day, if you're shorthanded for almost an entire period, you're not putting yourself in a strong spot to win.
Well, that's just, and it's like, to me, you're so right. It's adjustment. It's adjustment to the game. You adjust to the referees too.
It was game one of 82,
but they were also,
we got a win. And I think there's a lot to improve on, which is a good thing. There's definitely a lot of video to watch. So you can make improvements and it's good.
I would agree with you. That was a trend throughout the entire preseason. They were just taking way too many penalties.
And like, again, there's some of them. I thought the second McDavid call, you know, maybe a little ticky-tack, the Puljujarvi one.
What a goon though, eh? McDavid?
Well, the first penalty he took was dumb. That was a dumb penalty.
There goes Lady Bing.
Yeah.
That was dumb. Nurse's penalty was dumb.
McDavid's second penalty was necessary. Yeah, like,
which penalty was actually bad? Like, I don't know. I never really thought. I was like, another.
The one
I
didn't like the missed Nurse by
right
Kane.
At the end of the period.
Nurse and the first McDavid.
No, I mean like with bad calls.
Oh, bad calls.
I think the Kane one was a bad call.
I can't even remember the Kane one.
Oh, that was like a yard sale by what's his name.
Yeah, that one was both 50-50.
The missed call and that call.
Yeah, the Puljujarvi one, someone was like, I watched it three times. It was not a penalty. And I'm like, hey, when you watch it slowed down three times, you can be like, he didn't really grab him. But in real time, it looked like Puljujarvi hauled him down. What actually happened is the guy kind of lost an edge and Puljujarvi was battling with him. But like, again, in real time, most of them were penalties.
Because there was also the too many men. Like, there was more penalties that were penalties than weren't penalties, I guess is the point.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
It was just a little bit sloppy.
Yeah. And it's
robo-refs. We need robo-refs.
Yes. We have robo-boards now, so we may as well have robo-refs.
Yeah, that was...
too.
I'm glad I was at the game.
We are going to talk about those boards in a sec. I've got that on the list. Another thing I wanted to take away from night one was I thought Jack Campbell was great. Mm-hmm. He didn't get the start he wanted, obviously, allowing two goals in the first four shots. For me, personally, I didn't care all that much. Kind of felt like home. Felt nice. Felt good to be a little bit normal again. But then from there, he really shut things down and gave the Oilers the goal thing they needed to win.
Do you think he should have saved the JT Miller? That seems
That's
to have
a
become
hell of a
massive,
shot.
Massive debate.
I thought it was a very good shot.
Yeah, I thought he had a better chance at Pedersen's nonsense at the start of the game.
Mike McKenna, who played goalie at the NHL level, said great shot, so I trust him.
Yeah.
What did he ever do? except playing the NHL.
Isn't he known as a suitcase? Like,
I think it's so interesting that if something happens to the Oilers, the other player never gets credit for it in the city. So like the JT Miller goal, why can we not give him credit for a beautiful shot?
We've been doing this for years.
Puljujarvi gets robbed right on the doorstep. Nobody gives Demko anything on that. It's just, well, Puljujarvi's going to cash those in or he's going to get pulled out of the top six.
And then he takes a damn penalty.
What was the tweet you had?
Well, Puljujarvi fed Kane a really beautiful feather pass and Kane kind of fumbled it. It went off into the corner. I was like, wow, Kane's got to bury those or else he's going to get pulled out of the top six.
Everything now, though. Like,
it's just whatever.
That argument, though, is no longer about Puljujarvi. Either side, that argument is 100% trying to show the people who think opposite that they're right. Mm-hmm. Puljujarvi is no longer a part of this argument.
Also,
it's
every just argument
one
ever.
Side trying to prove to the other side they are right.
All the arguments kind of like that, but I get what you're saying. It's now just lost the plot. It's absolutely
cherry picking. Yeah,
like it's true. You got to score those if you want to play in the top six. That's the thing.
But it
however,
mean
I'm not going to say that on one try in the first game of an 82 game season.
Yeah, you're right. You're so right.
So it's just
lost the plot.
It's literally not about the player anymore. It's just looking at the people with the opposite argument and going, haha, I was right, and then going, haha, I was right. It's terrible and annoying, and
it's just back and forth every game.
I feel terrible for that kid.
Any other takeaways from night one?
I'm probably
82-0.
Oh, of course.
I like the build up of this team. I like the build of this team. It feels, I don't know, it just feels better.
We were in the conference finals last year,
like a fresh pair of gray shorts. I said,
I don't want to complain about an opening night win, right?
But I'm gonna.
Motherfucker. Yeah. That was a very Dave Tippett-y Oilers win.
Yep. How fucking dare you?
Well, like the depth did more or less nothing.
See,
special teams was sick.
I don't think so because I think they altered the lineup quite quickly after his 2-0, right?
Yeah, he did exactly what Dave Tippett did every single game.
Yeah, but like, to me, it was just a little bit different. I mean, people were losing their
Tyler?
Mind. Yeah, I mean,
honestly, no.
They won.
Teaming up McDavid and Draisaitl didn't work.
I mean,
it didn't improve that line, is what you're saying.
They're at 5-on-5. They still weren't good.
Do they draw any penalties?
I don't fucking know.
Well, they wouldn't know because if that would be a part of it too, right? Like if you're not scoring, if you drew the penalty and then we scored on the power play, and I don't actually have the answer for that. I was just
throwing it out there.
Yeah.
But I just, if I'm nitpicking the win, I don't love how quickly it's always just like, oh, better put McDavid and Draisaitl back together. That'll solve
it. You know
it.
What? If I had that as an option though,
I'd pull
the trigger on it more often than not. 100%. I think.
What a hard thing for us to say in this position. It's like, you got your job on the line every night. Are you going to keep
job's
David
not, and, Jay Woodcock's not going to get fired.
NHL head coaches do. Let's just be honest. If they fuck around and they don't play Draisaitl and Connor together, they're going to piss off a GM, right?
Even though it's game one, I also think there's pressure to win.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is fair. I think season opener is a bit more of a unique circumstance. But like, I didn't love pulling Dylan Holloway away from regular duty that quickly. Part of it was they took too many penalties and it's hard at 5-on-5. But like, I want to see Dylan Holloway have a consistent line mate for the first 5-6 games of his career. I want to see them develop some sort of depth scoring here. And I just think when you're like, well, fuck McDavid and Draisaitl together.
You're not doing that. What, like an hour before the game, 2 hours before the game with confirming that we were going to have one less forward?
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm sure they knew well before that, though.
Perhaps.
That wasn't a surprise to them.
But
for our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash, the delicious debate. Liam, give me a fresh ding dong.
Ding dong.
Thank you very much.
Extended.
Tyler brought Dylan Holloway up, so let's talk about Dylan Holloway. Made his NHL regular season debut. I don't know if you count the 3 minutes he played in the Western Conference Finals as a debut, but whatever. I guess you do. He got, I thought, in my opinion, a welcome to the NHL giveaway moment to Pettersson on the first goal. He's going to figure those out, but that was one of those ones where you go, whoa, no firing pucks up the middle in this league. And I think that it was a little bit interesting that he only got cut down to 8 minutes a night, went down to the third, fourth line, whatever you want to call it. But I also don't think it's as big of a deal as some people thought it was. I just think it's a kid, first game, probably super nervous. Yeah. He's going to figure it out.
What did he play?
First game.
8.5 minutes?
Something like that.
Slifkovsky played 10 minutes. Montreal.
Shane Wright got healthy scratched.
You know, like
did he really?
Shane, He played 6 minutes as well in his first game.
And then he scratched.
Like, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
No, like, no, it's part of the learning progress. Process. It's not a straight line, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How many other grenades did our NHL veterans hand out from the blue line up last in that game?
Like, I'm more irritated with the bad pinch from Darnell Nurse on the second goal.
Everybody was passing to no one in particular. There was a lot of it. I just think for a guy like Holloway, it's just that's one of those ones you go, whoa. We're in a different spot here.
It was game one, and that's just kind of what happens. I read on Twitter earlier today that they spent most of their time today working on defensive outlet passes.
Breakouts.
Obviously something that they want to alter and fix and improve on. And yeah, so you start working on that. That's what practices are for.
Greg has said on Oilers Nation Every Day, too, that Draisaitl spoke to him like right after it happened. And then also Zach Hyman today was videoed showing him how to like protect the puck and stuff. Like clearly these guys
that's what you do.
Don't particularly like... They're not, it's not lingering around, and we should just all let it go, you know. Like it's
professional sports,
the only people that are really hung up on it is us, the fans.
I honestly like the turnover didn't even bother me that much because, like you laid out, Begmilk, he's a young guy playing one of his second ever NHL game. Like that shit's gonna happen. What I just want to see here, and what I think could make life easier for him, is give him some consistency. Like if you think he's a top six winger this year for you, then give him 5 games on the second line. If you think he's just going to be a third line player for you, then play him with Nugent Hopkins for 5-6 games. Let him get comfortable and he'll probably make less mistakes.
He's playing with Nuge tonight, right?
He is. So my thing now is keep him with Nuge. If you think that's a good duo, run him. And I don't love the blender. I get season opener maybe different and all of that, but like, this team's going to win with depth scoring, or they're going to go deeper if they have depth scoring and can hurt you with more than just one line.
I like how upset you are with the first win.
Just so mad about it.
It's probably because you didn't bring enough spaghetti.
Well, you had a lot of sauce.
Still hungry.
Yeah.
Well, the listeners don't know that. I ate leftover spaghetti at the office today very quickly. And
you did. You wolfed that down. Like you were eating it like you were in prison.
I was a hungry boy. I'm growing. And I had too much sauce, not enough spaghetti noodles. So by the end, I was just putting sauce in my mouth.
There you go. You get a little peek behind the curtain. Tyler comes from all the way from home.
Yep.
Doing Oilers Nation Every Day.
Usually I eat when I drive, but spaghetti is difficult.
Was the food ready before you left, or you had to get it packed up before?
Just a little leftover? Oh, yeah.
It's just in the fridge. Pull it out of the fridge. Ready to go. Fork.
There you go.
And ready on the road.
Yep.
He tried to eat a handful of it. It was too messy. The steering wheel was slipping. Couldn't do it.
Hey, I also did it wearing like all white and I only spilt a little bit. So
there you go. There you go.
Not bad.
Only a little bit.
I want to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. They have got all the insurance products you could ever need in your life. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance. Everything is available at cornerstoneins.ca. Get a quote, submit a claim. It's all right there. Tyler will tell you they're very helpful.
The reason I didn't eat while driving today is because can you imagine if I had to call Bill from Cornerstone and be like, hey, Bill, Tyler here. I got into a fender bender because I was eating spaghetti while I was driving.
Yeah, Bill's not going to be happy about that.
You guys have something to get spaghetti out of the upholstery.
That would be.
I bet Cornerstone would have an idea.
Yeah.
I bet they would.
I've seen it.
I bet they would. Next up on the list, gentlemen, I want to talk about a couple of different things. In 488 NHL games, Connor McDavid registered his 700th point, which is absolutely bananas. But even weirder or wilder, if you think about it, is had he not been hurt by a certain somebody and then a certain thing happened that cut his season short, we would be talking about Connor at 800 points
It's like an extra season and a half.
Almost. Yeah, sure.
Can you say those numbers again, Bagmilk? 400 games?
488.
Okay, so what have you guys done 488 of something where you've come out with 700? I'm thinking like Costco hot dogs. I think I've eaten probably 700 Costco hot dogs in 480 visits.
We've done 231 episodes of this podcast and we finally hit 700 listeners.
Wow,
that's cool.
Hey, that's I'm huge. Kidding.
But it is we're still trying to get there.
It's an incredible scope. It's crazy.
It is. It's amazing. And like I said, we'd be talking about 800 points easily if he didn't miss that time to injury and the NHL because of
sixth fastest COVID. To get to 700.
Insane. Yeah, you could beat Crosby like 15 Sid, games right? or 13 games or something.
That's something where he was behind Sid all along because of injuries and stuff. So now he's starting to eclipse Sidney.
When did Sid get his injuries?
I was going to say because this is about the part where Sid was starting to get his injuries.
Because he had
but that one was so weird though. Like the one that kept Sid up for the longest, where they thought he was concussed and it was his neck
injury. Yeah,
That was a weird one.
Really messed up.
Speaking of Sid, did you guys see the clip from Spin Chicklets yesterday?
Fantastic.
It was very funny.
I didn't see it.
They were in a commercial break and Ryan Whitney and Biz were in the crowd. So somebody went up and they're like, hey, let's talk about Spin Chicklets and how you guys are taking over. And then Biz just grabs the mic and goes, yeah, we'll get to that. And then he starts yelling at Crosby on the bench from the crowd. He goes, Sid, I told you not to pick on the Coyotes and you got the fucking home opener, man. What's going on? And then Ryan Whitney grabs the mic and he's just like, everybody needs to know that Sidney would not be the player he was without playing with me or something like that. And Crosby on the ice is just trying not to crack up. But like, yeah. I just thought it was really interesting. They just, those dudes are funny.
They are.
They do a good job.
They do a good job. In other news today, Shore flip for Broberg again. It's the waivers carousel is going early in the season. What's your thoughts on Broberg not starting at least the first game with the Oilers? I don't think it's a big deal at all. Some people are saying the B word around this kid already, which is just bananas to me. It doesn't make any sense. Not every player develops in a straight line. And Tyler, I thought Gregor said something really interesting on Oilers Nation Everyday yesterday where he talked about, well, yeah, at the same time, Klefbom got sent back or something.
Yeah, when Klefbom was 21, he was also sent back to Bakersfield, played more games that year in Bakersfield.
The amount of people that were upset with Klefbom's game because he didn't look very good in the AHL that time too was ridiculous. Yes, people are saying because his numbers weren't fantastic in his AHL year or that last AHL year. And people are like, well, no, if you're going to be in the AHL, you got to rule the AHL. Well, they think differently, right? And you're in the AHL. If you're like a career AHLer, well, you just think the game differently than the NHL. Yeah. They're ahead of you. They're more advanced. So if the other players are not as advanced as you are, you're either not in the right spot or they're not in the right spot. It's, you know, it's a recipe for frustration.
Mm-hmm. And just the reality is the team's better now that they need a certain level of execution on the back end. And for a player as young as Broberg, I don't think a little dose of adversity, if handled properly, is a bad thing.
But I like calling them up today because that does say they're going to do probably go some 11-7. And I think that's what they should be doing because he needs some NHL time. And I think you can really shelter him having watched what he did last year with 11-7.
So yeah, in 14-15, Klefbom didn't make the team out of camp, went back down to Bakersfield, still ended up playing 60 games in the NHL that season.
That's Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City,
not
for the Barons.
Bakersfield.
And then, for the Barons.
That was 14-15. By 16-17, the playoff year, fair to say he was their best defenseman?
Yeah, of course.
Hilarious that they gave him that 7-year contract at less than 80 games played in the NHL.
He would probably still be the Oilers' best defenseman if he was playing right now.
And he's so damn handsome.
So damn handsome. Like, and that's a thing that a lot of people never acknowledge about the Oilers, and it drives me crazy. The fact that they lost their best defenseman to injury at, 27 or something like that? And they also lost Larson, which would have been your first or second pairing just for nothing.
And then because of that, you then have to give Nurse a massive contract because you have
no. Well, they had to bridge him twice. So first bridge is whatever. That's what everyone was doing. It's the second bridge that hurt them.
Yeah,
do you think, here's a question, I guess, that we won't have the answer to. But if Klefbom was on this team still playing at the level we
know,
I know this answer.
Go ahead.
What would they have paid Nurse? Like his next deal? Like you're probably not paying him $9.5, right?
$3.
I bet you they probably would have lost him.
I think they might have lost him. I just don't think he would have been playing the minutes. He wouldn't have scored all those goals in that cold game.
I told you I knew the answer.
Getting like 6-7 million.
Would have lost him.
Yeah, but that's where he would be more situated in that spot as opposed to doing what he's doing right now.
That's what I mean. Like I feel like Bagnoak was saying how
fucking hot here.
It is hot.
Crack a window.
Goodness. Sorry, Liam, I cut you off there.
Well, you were just saying like losing the two defensemen made such an effect on them on the ice, you know, but that also means they wouldn't have acquired Barry, so you don't pay Barry, and then you're not paying Nurse $9.5 million. Like
you may not even take Broberg at that point.
Yeah, you might not take, you have Trevor Zegras or Caulfield on the team.
I'm curious to watch Zegras' career because I'm not sure. I just want to see how it goes. Like, is he going to be a gimmicky type of player? Is he going to be a legit player right now? Mm-hmm. I really don't know.
He could be like a Matt Barzal. He's just a really good player for his entire career.
He just secured the bag though.
But that's what did he get paid?
Nine and change.
Yeah, it's probably what Zegras gets too. But Matt Barzal's never going to be a superstar in this league. He's just always going to be a really, probably an all-star level player, right? Well,
but his personality will keep him superstar level, right? Yeah, like he's going to be marketed like a superstar.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But I'm just curious to see at the end of his career, his on ice, where does he rank and stuff? Because I don't, like, is his biggest highlight going to be what he did last year in the Michigan goals and that one over the crossbar?
No, at one point he's going to do a trick shot where he fits the entire puck in his mouth and then spits it into the net.
That should count, by the way.
I think like his spin move was like when we had Linus Omark on this team, right? Same kind of focus where it's just like you focus on him for a minute and then you move on. But with Zegras, there's just miles of talent behind that. See, that's just the Ducks team. That was their highlight of their fucking like last 3 years.
It was also like, yeah, a goal we've never seen before.
The over the crossbar one?
Yeah.
I was like, well, the Michigan goal.
Yeah,
the
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan's good too.
I feel like we aren't going to see as many Michigans this year. I feel like it was a last year thing. Everyone was like, look, we can do it. Sick. This year, I feel like,
That's just it. Is he going to actually play like a real game or is he going to keep trying those? And it's a bad word, but the gimmicky goals.
Keep hot dogging around.
Yeah,
I think what it's going to take is a nice big old hit of somebody coming. Well, I was
just
going to
say, he just ate one in the preseason.
Yeah, he did.
I was going to say, let's all do our best impression of what Don Cherry would have to say about that goal.
Yeah, I was caught in the trolley tracks.
But you know, part of that is true though, right? Yeah. Like if you're a defenseman out there and this kid does that to you, you're going to feel fucking bad about it.
That's what I was
saying. And in a physical sport, there's one way of getting back at it, and that's laying him out. And he's not a big dude.
That's what I was just going to say, too. Like, if he keeps trying those goals, NHL defensemen, they're proud dudes, and he is reaching a very high level on the fuck around and find out chart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just look up what Mark Scheifele did to that Habs player on an empty net.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that kind of level. Yeah, Jake Evans. There you go. Came from behind and just smoked him. I think that's going to probably happen. It's happened in minor hockey. I've posted it on Hockey Fights. It's like people just absolutely destroy people going for the mush again.
There is obviously I watch a lot of like U18 and that stuff. There is way more kids now trying to do trick shots and Michigans and flipping it over the net than ever before.
That is one thing that's amazing is these kids have just really good puck skills at such a young age.
But is that a good thing for the game?
Yeah, I think it is. Because right now, I always remember growing up, on Sportsnet, the highlights would always be like in the summer, just guys diving for baseballs or whatever. Like, now on ESPN in the US, they're going to see Trevor Zegras tossing the puck over the net.
Okay, but is that good for the game? Like the on ice product, though. Like if all of a sudden instead of moving the puck from behind the net to on the side, move back to the defenseman and making a bit of a play there, you're going behind the net and trying to scoop it on over.
I think that you're looking at it from your lens of a guy who's loved the game forever.
No, 100%. But I mean, if it's
watching players do that, is going to get a casual fan that goes, "Oh fuck, I didn't know they did that in hockey."
Well, what's the success rate on it, though?
Oh, nothing. But when they hit one.
But what's the success rate on the guy like McDavid skating through five guys and scoring?
Well, there's only Connor that can do that, though.
But there's only Zegras that can do the Michigan.
We just mentioned
everybody can do the Michigan out there.
We just mentioned a guy's name.
I just think it's fun.
No, 100%. I think it's fun too. I just don't know if kids are going to do that more than set up like pressure in the offensive zone or move the puck around instead of looking for a guy that's coming back door. You're going to go behind the net and your first thought is to scoop. Then all of a sudden you're playing like a one man, like it's a one man thing all of a sudden, right? Yeah. That's where I look at it. And I know people will call me old and blah, 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 whatever.
No,
some people will. And that's fine.
I think that the reality is, and we just talked about it.
Very
like,
old.
You and I grew up with Don Cherry compilations as our hockey highlights that we would watch consistently.
Yeah.
And I remember video games and intros to games in the 90s and into the 2000s had big hits in it. Paul Kariya's hit.
I still want to see
that. That thing was used as a marketing tool. Scott Stevens on Paul Kariya. That was used as a marketing tool by the NHL for years.
RIP.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? But that you can't do that anymore. So you
still alive.
So for me, hearing that young people are working on these skills, that's great because then they have those skills to then fall back on. Once they get to the NHL and they got to learn to take a hit or two.
Is that the time to learn that though?
Well, yes, obviously it's going to start in the AHL and in the CHL, but the under 18, that's where you want their skills to be.
CHL's under 18 though.
Yeah, that's fair. But that's where I want my guys to learn their skill. And then you come into the game and we're going to be marketing the heck out of the Michigan.
But as a coach, you don't care about marketing. You care about winning.
Yeah. And scoring goals helps.
But if that's not a high percentage play, how much are the
coach? How many Michigans have they missed?
I will say I haven't seen one kid hit it. Like kids try and do it. I haven't seen
anyone. Yeah, that's fair. But in the NHL, we've seen them hit it. We haven't seen a lot of missed Michigans yet.
It's probably half and half, to be fair.
I don't know. I still hate when they go McDavid, Draisaitl, and pair him back up as quickly as they do.
All right, let's move on a little bit. All right. A couple of things, just a couple of housekeeping items. Today, Duncan Keith was officially named to a player development position. We heard about that a while ago, but just got made official today. So shout out to Duncan Keith. I wonder if his salary is very similar to the one that was left on the table to retire.
We're going
to
be seeing a lot more Kelowna Rockets on this roster.
Hell shouldn't yeah. it be? They have to like disclose that salary, do they not?
No, not for staff. So. There's no cap on staff.
To the NHL, they do, but not us.
Do they?
I don't. Yeah, is there some sort of rule out there that you have to? Like, I don't know.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen that either, not for player development.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that what he left on the table is what the old paychecks are showing up at Duncan's house.
Or it's like he left $1 million on the table. Three-year deal.
Just to this podcast credit, we talked about this like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, no.
And then the NHL just pretended that the recapture thing didn't exist. They're like, yeah, that's not in the, in the CBA, but like, come on, we didn't mean to put it there.
After the paperwork came through that they was written there.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, this is all good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And then they come back and say,
we circled it and put a frowny sticker on it. Like that meant like nothing is wrong.
So if you don't remember last summer, when the Oilers got Keith, we were talking about how there was the wrinkle in the CBA that if you retire, there's a cap recapture to the team that signed you to a backdiving contract. And since the Oilers would have paid a year of Keith at full cap hit, but got him at a lower salary, they would actually get a bonus and would be able to spend more than the rest of the NHL. They should have gotten about whatever, $3 million bucks. And the NHL just decided that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, they charged Chicago, but then they retro did it to last year. So it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was
and
nothing.
They just kind of made it up.
Yeah.
So this is at least the third time I can think of the NHL doing something again. And I'm not saying they're conspiracy theory against us, but there's at least three times.
Well,
there's this, and then there's the draft trade.
Picks.
Yeah, draft picks. And they're like, no, that rule's over.
There's James Neal. He didn't have 20 goals. And it's like, well, he would have hit 20 goals probably. Well, he wasn't playing. He was hurt. Well, he probably would. I don't know.
He probably would have hit it. Yeah.
Well, and older people than I would remember the fact that the NHL changed the rules on power plays because of the Oilers.
Well, they changed the fucking Calder rule with Gretzky.
Yeah.
Speaking of changing the rules, let's get rid of the trapezoid. I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm over that one too. But anyways, the point I wanted to make on the Keith thing was I'm really surprised the NHLPA didn't have like a bigger beef about that, because that's $3 million now that isn't going to players.
Yeah.
Like if the Oilers would have had an extra $3 million in cap space, they would have spent it. They would have signed someone, and then another team wouldn't have signed them, and they would have signed a different guy. So like, you know, more money would have been given out. Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to touch on, Darnell Nurse fined $5,000. He's got that in his jeans, no problem, for that interference penalty at the end of the first period. So,
yeah.
Did Sidney Crosby get fined?
Nope.
For his slash
whack
on the back of someone's
shoe. Well, Sid's allowed to do that. He chopped a guy's finger off. He's fine.
The submarine.
He's like 90% off. Come on.
Yeah.
That was a dirty game.
All I saw was a chippy Crosby. Game.
How many fights we had so far? Are we scrapping out here?
Four.
Just in the league?
Yeah.
See, I showed everybody before this podcast started that picture, the still photo of the Ryan Reeves. Oh, dude, that thing is fucking good.
Photo credit.
Was that Marcus?
Yeah, he fought. He fought Marcus Foligno.
Yeah, good
the, name the name of the photographer. The name of the
Marcus Foligno fought Ryan Reeves.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I saw the photo, but I didn't connect the dots. I'm like, well, that's a poor decision to make.
I don't often get my photographer's name, so I'm going to give the credit. Aaron Levinsky with the amazing photo. It's like top photos from hockey. Just absolutely perfect in the middle of a Ryan Reeves.
The hair flowing there too.
It's unreal. So, just four fights so far, but we've got some Reeves Foligno content.
But I want to ask you, Mr. Hockey Fights guy, how many tilts we see in tomorrow night? BOA.
I'm going to say one, Kane versus Kadri.
Does Kadri take that fight though?
He shouldn't.
He wants to endear himself to his new teammate.
He should not take that fight.
I think
Evander's going to fill his face with a bunch of, you know, gray short goodness. But like,
there's very few players in this league that'll fight Evander Kane. A lot of them will get in there and muck it up. But as soon as the whistle goes, they try and find the guy, the closest referee stripes, and they go like stand behind him.
We saw that with Claude Lemieux's kid. Remember Brendan. Last year?
Oh, yeah.
And then Kane popped him around.
He had a fight last
year. I don't think there's, well, I don't think Kane fights tomorrow unless they have somebody who's trying to make a name for it. And I don't think it's Kadri.
I'm going to guess that Kadri, if there's going to be a fight, it's going to be Kadri grabbing somebody like Nuge or something. Yeah,
Kadri's going to battle Nuge and then Nuge is going to do him up because he's just fighting rage and Nuge. And
I just don't think, Kadri's not a stupid player and he knows that it's going to piss off everybody if he just tries to fight everybody but Evander Kane.
Yeah. But then what's going to happen if he does do that is Evander Kane's going to give him no option.
And he'll take a dumb penalty probably doing it, but it's, the team just has to kill it off.
See, we're going to go into that dressing room and go, guys, we're the ones who beat them 4-1 last year.
Yep.
We don't have to start any of this shit. We go out there, play our game, and let them fucking run around and try and catch us.
Well, what do you guys expect from the Battle of Alberta this year? Because it's a completely different iteration than what we saw in May when the Oilers knocked them out of the playoffs.
Well, I mean, like, they're the cup champs, right? They beat Colorado last night on the second game of back-to-back.
Hang the banner.
We might as well. They are the Pacific. They
did hang a banner.
They did hang our banner in their stadium.
We're first place of the regular season in our
division. Congratulations.
But,
what was the Nashville banner they put up there? Everybody made fun of them. Same thing, right? And everybody made fun of them.
Yep.
But no one says shit about Calgary doing it.
They just did it quietly and didn't even tell anybody.
Yeah, but, like, everyone just handles Calgary with kid gloves.
But wait, was it a division champs banner?
Yes, it says 2021, 2022 Pacific Division champs.
Yeah. Regular season.
Doesn't even say regular season.
The Oilers would probably put one up if they won.
Yeah, of course. If you're the division champ, you put the banner up.
Well, luckily, we don't have to be in that position to know because,
we just get to take the high road because we won it in the playoffs.
Back to tomorrow's BOA. What are you guys expecting? Like, Huberto, first game, Uyghur, Kadri. Different mix. It's a different looking Flames team against mostly the same Oilers team.
I think it's going to be a good game. I expect the Flames to come out, looking for a bit of revenge and making a statement on a team that did eliminate them last year. But if this team can weather that first period, I don't think we have a problem with that Calgary.
Well, and
team.
Like, if I'm Calgary, I put Vladar in net tomorrow because at least he was really good against the Oilers in the preseason. And Markstrom,
I think I'm a little bit nervous for this game just because, the redemption angle. I think Markstrom will be dialed.
Well, here's the thing.
Half the guys that want redemption aren't there anymore.
I know, but the Markstrom thing specifically. And, there's still a lot of pieces on that team that were there.
Yeah,
that blue line. Pieces.
Yeah. Their blue line's good.
Rasmus Anderson.
Fuck
that guy.
Fuck him for sure. But what I'm most interested in tomorrow's game is how the Oilers handle the defense because, like it or not, the Flames have a really good defense.
They just got to come out and play their game. Their forwards are top level in this league. And if Calgary thinks they can play defense with them, make them prove it.
Score predictions for the Battle of Alberta. I will start 4-2 win.
So cheap. I'm going to go 5-3 Oilers.
I'm going to go back to the well that I went to last year, and I'm going to say 5-4 Flames in overtime.
2-1 Oilers in overtime.
4-3 Oilers overtime.
So we're betting the money line, not the puck line.
Oh, yeah. All in overtime, too, eh?
All right. It's going to be entertaining.
It's going to hurt my heart. Mm-hmm.
To be honest, as an Oilers fan, I really don't. Obviously, I want to see us win, but I feel like for Flames, there's a lot riding on
this. If the Flames win tomorrow, it may as well be we did it.
They're already. Yeah. There's nothing Edmonton can do that Calgary won't sit there and try and they have something to say about it.
Rent free.
They'll still need two more wins to catch up to four anyway.
They have a serious complex down in that city.
I saw a few Flames fans that were doling out we beat the Avalanche on the back kind of set, but most people were convinced that was. They are now the cup.
Didn't the Oilers beat the Avalanche in the regular season last season?
They clinched. Yes.
Who cares? It doesn't matter until you get to the
mentality of people in that city. Inferiority complex.
I love Princey, but I'm going to take a little poke at him right now because he was just like, hey, we sold out our season opener and you didn't. Edmonton's like, yeah, but nobody was wearing hard hats. There was a complete disregard for safety of all the people in there, that shithole arena.
Also, did you see when... it was someone, one of the new guys on Flames Nation. I can't remember his name, but he went to the game and he took a video of when they scored the empty net goal and half the arena was empty. People had left already. And it's
have to leave early.
Oh, it was safety reasons.
I held a party. I hosted a party in Calgary for a playoff game and they left at the end of regulation against the Avalanche, no less.
Went to overtime.
Yep, went to overtime. I had two people left in the bar. We had the bar full. Everybody left to go home. You have to be traffic.
They can't do anything without bringing up something from Edmonton first.
Oh, it's like
it's the whole city
rent free.
And that's the thing. Flames fans watch every single Oilers game, and I don't watch any Flames games unless the Oilers are playing.
You had them commenting on the food prices. You had them commenting on absolutely everything. It's
Okay.
We live free in their head.
We should thank them, though. They Why? Do come visit OilersNation.com to find out all these various tidbits that they can use against us.
Oh, they're going to find that on the internet anyways. And we are strictly, like, they have one thing they think about when they wake up in the morning is Edmonton. And yes. We don't give two shits about them unless we're playing them.
Fact.
If we're not playing them, they may as well be on the other side of the world.
I think about Draisaitl over 1.5 points. Every morning.
Oh, every morning when I wake up, it's the first thing I see.
BLT bets.
The second thing I think about when I wake up is the FIS Snowboard Big Air World Cup that is coming to Edmonton. Experience a world-class mashup of snowboarding and style right here in Alberta. Heightened fan experience grants you front row seats to the Watch.
We're going together, right?
Yeah, of course.
When is that?
To best head-to-head... I'm trying to read a plug here. A heightened fan experience grants you front row seats to watch the best snowboarders go head-to-head at the largest stadium Big Air contest Canada has ever seen.
It's awesome.
This is in Edmonton, though?
Yeah,
it's at Commonwealth.
Yeah.
And wait, what?
We think just based off of the way the map
Check out
works.
The seating chart. Yeah. So it looks like the ramp is going to be here, and it Into starts the in the stands and goes just out.
In the Safeway huddle or whatever that is.
Yeah. It looks cool.
Oh, because this is down here. No. This is... The exit, that's the...
And
that's
because the color's blue, I'm led to believe that will all be water.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Yep.
Especially those seats up there, too.
So that all is coming water. Up on...
It's like a hot tub.
Saturday, December 10th. Go get your tickets at Ticketmaster. Shout out to Canada Snowboard for jumping aboard.
Real X Games feel there. That's going to be cool.
That's going to be awesome.
X Games vibes.
All right, boys, a couple of quick questions for Ask the Idiots for our friends at Twig and Berries.
We're all here.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Nation 15 will get you a discount on your gear at Twig and Bear.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Please go check them out in store. If you're out in St. Albert, you might even see Tyler there. You might be trying on some new ODR hoodies.
I'm always just cruising around.
You might be trying on a new ODR hoodie.
Why not?
Looks good. Feel
or
good.
You'll catch me trying on some new nutsack underwear. I refuse to use the changing rooms.
Let me know when you're doing your next show. First question, I'm going to start with Rick because he's right beside me. What is the worst type of fan at an Oilers game? Waves at the camera guy every time it pans by? The wave people? The bandwagoners? The guy who doesn't wear or wears a jersey of a team who's not playing? Something else?
Out of those options, it's the weird jersey guy.
Yeah, how bad do you want attention? That's what I don't like with that guy.
Like the Oilers are playing the Flames and you show up in like a Ducks jersey or something.
They all know what you're in some other country and someone's walking around wearing a Riders jersey. Like it makes no sense.
Do you know, actually for game 7, I wore my DFO hoodie and some Under Armour shorts because I did it for superstition. And I felt incredibly awkward not wearing an Oilers jersey. So I can't imagine wearing another team's jersey and going to a game.
I went to a playoff game in Chicago wearing an Oilers hat, and I thought I was going to die.
Hat is different. Jersey is, yeah.
No, I thought I was going to. I legitimately thought I was going to die with just a hat on. So I couldn't imagine coming into a game with a weird team.
Dan, what's the worst type of fan?
For me, it's always been the fan that has like a ongoing conversation with a player and calls them by their nicknames and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Like from up in the seas, like they're in the 200s.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, come on, Braddy. And it's like, I don't even think
you, let's go Shorzy.
It's the wrong nicknames. It's all those little things or the fans that sit forward, the ones that sit forward and can't keep this back of their seats on their back.
Okay, so I have a buddy who just moved back here from Victoria, hasn't gone to an Oilers game at Rogers Place, went to a preseason game. And I was like, oh, like, what'd you think? He goes, it's good, but they have this rule now, I guess, where you can't lean forward. And I was like, dude, that's just common courtesy. He's like, yeah, like two people tell me to stop leaning forward. I'm like, yeah, because you're like 6'4", man. You have to lean back. People can't see. He was like, oh, it must be a new thing at the new rink.
Tyler, what's the worst kind of fan at an Oilers game?
Listen, I'm all for like cheering and all of that stuff. But sometimes there's people who are just a little too loud. And constructive loud. There was just a guy.
Have you ever gone to a game with Rick?
Rick would be like a good constructive level.
I think I am.
Yeah, the guy behind me the other day, it was like TV timeouts. And he's, Oilers, like just screaming, let's go Oilers, like the whole game. I don't know, it just kind of irked me.
That specific guy.
So if you're having fun at a game, Tyler doesn't want you there.
No. But my actual answer is the other Jersey people.
Liam?
The wave. The wave.
Get out of here.
The wave sucks.
I think the Oilers wave is the worst part of sports.
Why?
What?
Because it's supposed to be like, oh, I'm bored. I'm going to have fun and do the wave. Now it's turned into, oh, we're winning. Let's do the wave.
Yeah, like, no, let's get the people going.
No, come just on, play those 80s songs again and let me sing along. That's what
I didn't like
do.
The 80s songs. We made the DJ quitter. We got him fired because he played the wrong song.
I haven't heard Cotton Eye Joe in years, man.
No, he did that one at that one game and everyone started singing. It was the Dance of Dallas.
Which is the one where there's like 45 seconds left and the game is like...
I'm trying to think of it. It's not Sweet Caroline. It's, Jack and Diane.
Jack and Diane.
I don't remember that. But either way,
but yeah, dude, stop the wave. I think we have a record in Edmonton about doing the largest wave at Commonwealth once, I believe.
Well, I want the wave to go extinct.
The wage allegedly started here.
Didn't it start
in Mexico?
No, apparently it started here and then, or somebody saw us doing it and then they started doing it elsewhere.
Well, I love the wave. I'm on record.
Yeah, in the 80s. Have to love it.
Might have been the Steelers.
Here.
Might have been the Steelers.
Because I thought it used to be called the Mexican Wave because of the 1986 World Cup, which is in Mexico. Fans did it because the games were ending 0-0 so much that people were doing the
just
wave
trying to get chance
and people
going.
Were bored. And now you go to an Oilers game. There was one last season. It might have been a playoff game, and it was a super tight game, and people were doing the waves.
Liam,
I have a question
for you, Liam. Have you ever tried to start your own wave?
No.
That's the problem. You got to be the first person to start a wave, and it's going to be infectious.
If you do that, I'll beat the hell out of you.
The satisfaction you get from getting the whole crowd going,
I'd rather start a chant and get the whole rink going.
I started a chant once, and it's great.
Five,
the five-hole chant against Martin Jones in the playoffs is my greatest accomplishment ever.
Did you Google the wave?
I did. The wave was started, or at least credited to, Crazy George Harrison on October 15th, 1981 at a televised A's-Yankees game in Oakland.
That's Henderson for the record.
What did I say?
Harrison.
Henderson.
I was going to say George Harrison.
George Harrison started. First he was the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah. I thought this was going to take a weird turn.
First he was in the Beatles, founding member, of course. Wow. And then he started the wave.
Better known as starting the wave.
Noted fan of the WHA Oilers.
Yes. Yep. Another fan of fact about the Beatles. Ringo Starr, the voice of Thomas the Tank Engine in England.
He was the conductor here.
Yeah, he was
the
conductor here.
Oh, was he? Well, he was Thomas here.
Oh, was he? There you go.
There.
Just to wrap up question one of Ask the Idiots. I'm going to go worst type of fan is banging on the glass guy.
Just
get out of here.
No one said the shoot person.
How about the people that have started to stand up when they know that the camera's on them now?
Oh, they suck.
Or the people that stand up and turn around and wave at
the guy. Yeah.
Or the kid that started doing Fortnite dances in front of me whilst the game was going on. Why wasn't he?
You want to see me hit the gritty?
No, he was doing the floss thing.
Fortnite moves. Question number two, Liam, I'm starting with you. Reversing the order. Do you prefer Woodcroft going with 11-7 or 12-6 and why?
11-7 because I like seeing McDavid and Draisaitl play more than Brad Malone.
Oh, shots fired at Dan.
Hell?
Sorry, Dan.
What did he do to that?
I know.
He
could have chose like Derek Ryan. He could have chose anybody. Devin Shore is at least gone.
Who got sent down, Tay-Tay? Who got sent down?
Shorzy.
Who has no hurt feelings? Shorzy. You went after
no
Brad.
Way that
that was personal.
Did you hear what happened in the dressing room last time you got sent down?
Did I ever not?
Like Leon gave him a hug or something like that. He put his arms up in the air. He's like, nobody wants me.
good guy, Shorzy.
He probably won't play a game in Bakersfield this year.
No, I don't think so.
I don't even think he's going down there. I bet you he's
chilling.
Yeah.
Tyler, 11-7, 12-6.
Whichever one has McDavid and Draisaitl on separate lines the most. That's the hill. I'm starting to like iron out my bits and the hills I'm going to die on this year, and that might be one of them.
You're going to write those things down, though, because you get a little hot once in a while, and I think you might forget them sometimes.
Yeah, like, yourself. Here's the thing, is if you want to commit to a bit for a long time, I feel like lean on my expertise here, because I will beat things to death for decades, I need you to
still
get
be eating beats.
But I think... for the most of the regular season, I like 12-6 more. Get everyone comfortable with their partners and their line mates. 11-7 is good for like a must-win game because, again, McDavid and Draisaitl will get them out there. But over the course of 82, you got to pace yourself.
Dan, 11-7, 12-6.
I like 12-6 because that means this team is complete. It feels to me like 11-7 is a combination where you're saying that your defense isn't quite enough to hold up. So for me, it's 12-6.
Rick?
I like 11-7. I think it suits the team a little bit more, and I enjoy how much it upsets other people.
And I really don't have an opinion on it, to be honest. I don't care. Like, did the Oilers win? Yes. Mm-hmm. Which one did they do? 11-7. Okay.
How often did McDavid and Draisaitl play together? Those are the three things we look for.
If they won, play them together all day long. I don't care. I do not care at all. Nation Dan, I'm starting with you. Question number three. How many games before Connor McDavid and keeps the scoring lead for the entire season?
Can I say he's already done it? Like at 4 points.
You going wire to wire?
So he is currently in tied for second place. Artemi Panarin and Mikko Rantanen at five.
I would argue that it's probably like two or three games in more, and then he's just gone.
So by game five, he'll have the lead, and he will not give it up again.
I would say by game five, he probably has 10 points, so yes.
Tyler?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Dan. I'll say game five, if that was your answer. Yeah you said five? Yeah. Sure. I'm going to go with game five, and it'll be wire to wire from there.
Who has the most right now?
Panarin and Rantanen.
They've both played two games. Panarin and Rantanen.
The points per game lead is McDavid and Pastrnak at four.
By game three.
Wow.
He's putting up like three or four tomorrow.
I'm going to say, game four. Like, Liam?
I think from game three onwards... if he has Flames and then Sabres, he should be able to get a few.
I'd be curious to know what it was like last year for him, if he did drop behind anybody.
Last question, Ask the Idiots, for our friends at Canada Snowboard, Twig and Berries. Canada Snowboards, they're hot and cold performers. We're going to give him another plug. Tyler, if you were on the Oilers bonding fishing trip, which three guys do you want on your boat?
I'm going to take this really seriously. I want to look up their roster. So we're going for a combination of things here. You want good vibes. That's imperative. You're on a fishing trip, a lot of downtime and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you also want someone who is going to be able to help you lift big fish. So I want someone strong.
Right.
And also someone who's good with that kind of outdoorsy stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think Brett Kulak comes from a family of farmers. Local guy. He is if the boat breaks down, he might have a hope in hell of fixing it. So Kulak is on my boat. Jack Campbell seems like a really great guy. Seems like he would go out of his way to like bring snacks.
He's going to bait your hook for you. He's a sweetheart.
Yeah. So Campbell and Kulak are on my boat. And finally, because I think he's the handsomest member of the blue line, Ryan Murray's also on my boat.
I am shocked by that. Ryan Murray has passed Cody Ceci as Tyler's most handsome defenseman.
Why is Ryan Murray always so tan?
Maybe he's got a bed in his house.
Maybe.
Spends a lot of time outside on the injury list.
Yeah.
Nice so yeah, that's my boat. Ryan Murray, Brett Kulak, and Jack Campbell.
Liam, who you got on your boat?
I see
you're Googling pictures of Ryan Murray now.
Look, every photo, the guy's tanned.
It's true. Look at those Blue Jackets pictures. He just came straight from the beach.
Like, look at that.
Columbus is known for its beaches.
I gotta get my press pass for a game and get into a scrum and ask him, like, hey, what's the skin routine like?
Yeah, what's the deal going on? You're always so nicely tanned. Nice bronze going on all the time.
And they're never giving you a credential again. Because you just said that on sound.
Liam, who are you fishing with?
I'm going to go with Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah, he just
seems entertaining. Because I feel like you would give a lot of dry humor to the trip.
Yep.
I'm going to take Devin Shore for obvious reasons, because he likes jumping around.
Because his name's Shore and that's kind of watery.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And nice then the other guy I'm taking is, I just had him up here, now I forgot. Kyler Yamamoto.
Oh.
Oh, I bet he'd be fun.
Yeah, I think he'd be like, make a lot of jokes though. Oh, I'm not strong enough to get the thing in. Like,
nailed it on Yamamoto's humor right there.
Damn. For our friends.
Fish are so heavy.
For our friends at Twig and Berries, Dan, who are you going fishing with?
I'm going for vibes and good vibes only. I'm going Bouchard, Jessa, and Zach Hyman.
That's a positive group right there.
Yeah.
Rick?
Well, I know who I'm going to go with, and I'm going with Bouch, I'm going with Clouder, I'm going with Fogle.
I was thinking that too.
It's a relationship. Yeah, that little trio there, they're a fun group.
And then the trio became four.
Well, it's true. I was going to say you only allowed me to choose three because there is a fourth who hanged. That's a little quartet of.
He's on
you replaced
boat.
Him.
Quartet Sorry. Of boys there.
He's done.
I'm going to go with Evan Bouchard. Everybody needs a dad to teach you how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody needs that. And then I'm going to go with Ryan Nugent Hopkins. I've got to, right? It's on brand. Yeah. Like. If I did not pick Ryan Nugent Hopkins, he would have been on another boat. He's like, Bagmoke didn't even pick me to go fishing with him.
Cat down to Nation and take my picture back.
Mm-hmm. And then my third will be, you know what? I'm going to pick Connor because nobody's picked him. And this is the last time he's picked last ever in his life anywhere. So
don't want him to feel bad.
Yeah, of course. So our friends at twigandberries.ca, send us your Ask the Idiots questions. Just slide on into my DMs on Instagram or Twitter, and I will ask the boys for their first reactions.
Was that the only duplicate we had there, Rick and I, with Yessa?
No,
and Bouchard.
No, I didn't say Yessa.
I said Bouchard. I need Bouchard. A dad to teach me how to do stuff, you know?
Bouch getting the vote to be on our boat.
Though, you know what? Kane and Puljujärvi looked like they were having a good time together. Maybe being a sliding in as a third on that one.
Replacing Janmark.
Replace the guy that got cropped out a little.
Yeah, you guys, I was going to say, you guys brought that up last week, right?
Oh, yeah.
You that fucking fantastic. You should,
ice cold.
You should post that picture with just your bagged milk image over Vertanen's head and be like, at E. Kane, why'd you crop me out?
good times. Get the buttons ready, boys. It is time to finish off the podcast with hot and cold performers for our friends at Canada Snowboard. Again, it's coming December. Go get your tickets at Ticketmaster. The event is taking place at Commonwealth. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited about it. I'm going to go watch it. I love big air snowboarding. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. As we do every single week, we start off with our veggies. Rick, I'm going to start with you. Your Canada Snowboard cold performer of the week.
Well, I let it slip there a couple of minutes ago, but it's the whole both sides of the Yessa Puljujärvi argument. I just don't think it revolves around the player anymore. It's just about people trying to be right and kind of dunk on the other side of those who have a different opinion than they do. Neither side's even giving the guys part credit for their arguments. So it's both sides of the 13 argument.
Sorry.
Liam scrolling.
Are you thrilled?
No. Nope.
I'm not.
No, nope, me neither. Dan, your Canada Snowboard cold performer of the week.
Well, my Canada Snowboard cold performer of the week is going to go to a bunch of fans that, and I understand as a fan base, you're probably pretty upset. We kind of were using you as a farm team of sorts recently, but it's all the Leaf fans that were just going out of their way to be angry at Jack Campbell. They just watched their team get beat by the Montreal Canadiens, pretty good team, but they went and stumbled their way out of their way to come and hate on Jack Campbell. I'm sorry you can't have soup. There's no soup for you anymore. He's ours. He finished the game with a .917 save percentage. So Leaf fans stumbling their way into our mentions to try and attack Jack Campbell. You get my cold performer of the week.
So have you ever fought before?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
You're probably beat up in the bus stop most of the time.
I think so, huh?
So funny. My new best friend, Jack Campbell, by the way. Tyler, your Canada Snowboard cold performer of the week.
I'm not getting into it. I'm just ripping off the Band-Aid, the Jays. That's the real life intro.
You're one of 12 listeners of the real life.
Or a new cold performer button for us.
I love that the Jays cold performer get a marching band.
See, that's the thing about the Jays. I was a little upset about when the Blue Jays lost, but then I stopped for a second. I took a deep breath and I went, you know what? Toronto also lost, and I didn't feel so bad anymore. Don't like the fact the Blue Jays lost, but the fact Toronto lost, well.
What I do like is funny. That I scored an early payout before that game turned on me. Liam, your Canada Snowboard cold performer of the week.
Mine's a sad one. The fact that Hagrid passed away earlier today, that was sad. Great movies. Did you guys hear about that?
His name is Richard Coltrane.
I know. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to mess it up, so I just said Hagrid. What's his name?
I think it's Richard Coltrane.
Yeah, it is Richard.
Richard Coltrane.
Coltrane.
Why is he's a character?
He's
right?
Known as character. Hagrid. Yeah. Known as Hagrid.
And
from
he was
the Harry
also
Potter
in
series.
The another big movie.
007.
That was it. James Bond.
Day After Tomorrow.
So yeah, thanks for the memories. I don't. I.
Thanks for the memories.
Yep.
I'm upset.
I like it. I agree.
That was really well done, Liam. Good job.
My Canada Snowboard Cold Performer of the Week goes to Ticketmaster's like surge pricing thing that they do, because it's supposed to keep scalpers from swooping in and buying cheap tickets to events that are going to be really popular. But your boy really wanted Blink-182 tickets this week, and I got them, and I spent easily twice the amount that I was planning to do because of this surge pricing thing that they had going on. So Ticketmaster, whatever this ticket thing that you've got going on, sucks. We all got gouged on our Blink tickets. I'm upset. I'm happy I'm going, but I'm sad I'm not allowed to eat for the foreseeable future. So Ticketmaster, you get my cold
promo. Oh, that's cold.
Maybe you should stop trying to buy all the Blink 182 tickets, Bag Milk.
No, I will not.
You and 1,000 of your closest friends are going to Blink 182 this year.
It's sad. So sad. Bright side. Diet mode? Yeah. Won't be eaten for a while. All right, let's finish off the podcast on a bright side. We're going to reverse the order. Liam, you're up first. Your Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week.
My dad, for yelling at Mark Giordano when he came on the TV screen the other night. I thought that was very funny that the anger still lives on.
Yes.
I like it. I respect it.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Tyler, your Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week.
Rick's new Crocs.
Thank oh my you. God, I forgot we're going to talk about those.
Those are fucking so cool. I'm going to post a picture of them on our Oilers Nation radio social media feeds. So
I will admit they're not quite the same quality as regular Crocs. But,
oh, you went with the dogs.
Well, yeah, I had Googled it, but I mean, everybody knows me, knows I can find some rather obscure Oilers stuff. So I'll have to just add it to my collection.
It's getting hot in here.
How comfortable are those babies though?
They're actually really good. I wore them to the game.
Nice.
Any just, comments?
That is the look.
No, you know what? I normally when I wear my Oilers shoes, I get some comments. I don't think people really knew that they didn't see them.
They were just like, "Fuck me!" You see that guy's Crocs?
Oh, buddy, I was.
They talked about him after the you went
oh, yeah.
by.
Comfy. Oh yeah.
Oh maybe.
Yeah.
Nation Dan, your Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week.
Well, it's sad news that it happened, but I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Ashley Storoshenko, who was supposed to be at game one of the season. Unfortunately, she is going through a battle with cancer right now. And so we are all behind you, Ashley. I know everybody on this podcast feels that way. Hope you had some laughs listening to this episode. And thank you for getting that first win for us, Ashley. I know that the boys are going to be battling for you, and appreciate Ashley staying positive through all of this. So Ashley Storoshenko, you get my Hot Performer of the Week.
We the best.
Rick, your Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week.
Well, I'm just going to go back to the game of hockey, unfortunately, but I'm going to give it to the new goalie. I think, you know, he had a bit of a slower start, but the way he persevered through that game and held on and kept us in the victory. So with where the Hot Performer goes to Mr. Jack Campbell.
I'm staying alive.
I like that.
A little Drizzy on there?
A little Drizzy Drake. Also, we should give... Has everyone gone? Or did you go?
No, I'm gone.
Okay, you go.
Well, I'm just being purely selfish.
Yeah.
My Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week is the Alfa Romeo that's parked outside. Cool. It's very, very handsome.
Major key alert.
I should not be driving that car is the reality of it, but I am. So, shout out to Alfa Romeo of Edmonton. Free plug for you.
Major key alert.
Group... Hot Performer of the Week to the Oilers for giving Ben Stelter a nice yes. little, and his parents were in the crowd as yep. well. And then Connor as well saying after that the win was for their buddy Ben. So Oilers always do really, really good stuff like yep. that. It's expected at this point because that's something the organization usually nails.
And a Ben chant in the crowd too.
Ben chant yeah, in the crowd. Great job great. For the fans. Like all of it. Really, really good stuff from the Oilers.
Yeah!
And with that, I just want to say thank you to DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Twig and Berry's Canada Snowboard for making this all possible, for the boys for showing up, for Tyler for being 25 minutes late.
Hard out at
3 for Dan. Was 25 minutes late.
We're in a corporate meeting.
In the same meeting. Yeah.
we'll give it to Jay Downton next time.
Thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend.
Shout out Ash.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You gotta decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you gotta predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.